Will you please turn to the book of Acts? Acts chapter 1. We'll read from verse 6 through verse 9. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. They therefore, being come together, asked him, that is our Lord, saying, Lord, is it at this time that thou restorest the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not yours to know times or seasons, which the Father has placed in his own authority. But you will receive power, the Holy Spirit having come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And having said these things, he was taken up, they beholding him, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation, chapter 5. We read from verse 6 through verse 14. Revelation, chapter 5, verse 6. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing, as slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And he came and took it out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he took the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, having each a harp and golden bowls full of incenses, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals, because thou hast been slain and hast redeemed to God by thy blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to our God kings and priests, and they shall reign over the earth. And I saw and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and their number was 10,000s of 10,000s. And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that has been slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and upon the earth and under the earth, and those that are upon the sea, and all things in them heard I saying, To him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, blessing and honor and glory and might, to the ages of ages. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and did homage. May we have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that Thou art so pleased with Thy own Son. And we are glad that we may declare Him, that we may consider him today. Our Father, we ask that thou will reveal thy Son afresh to us, that we may see him as thou dost see him, that we may bow down and worship. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. We have been considering the life of our Lord Jesus for quite a long time. And I believe that even in eternity, we will still be considering him. This morning, we come to that point of his life, which is his ascension. In the days of our Lord in the flesh on earth, these days are days of his humiliation. He who emptied himself took up the form of a slave. Being in the fashion of man, he humbled himself. And he was obedient unto the Father unto death, even the death. So his life on earth is a life of humility. He refused the glory that Satan offered to him at the time of his temptation. He refused to be crowned king by the people who were fed by him. He lived a life of humiliation. He was rejected. He was crucified. The cross is the sign of the Son of Man. It is a sign of humiliation. But thank God, to our Lord Jesus, the cross is the beginning of his glorification. This is the hour that he came for. After he was crucified, he was buried for 3 days. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Now, brothers and sisters, resurrection is glory. Death is always a shame, but resurrection is always glorious. Our Lord took upon himself a glorious body, a spiritual body. And in that body, he appeared to his disciples for 40 days. During those 40 days, we mentioned before how he taught them further on the kingdom of God. Now he was teaching them under a new environment. I believe that it makes it much easier for his disciples to understand the real nature of the kingdom of God, which is spiritual and heavenly. And he established a new relationship with his own, not just being an external alongside, but it is an inward dwelling. He in us and we in him. And he gave us a new commandment to go to the end of the earth, to disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things that we are taught with, and he promised he will be with us to the completion of the ages. At the end of the 40 days, he led his disciples to the Mount of Olives. And there, he ascended up to heaven. It is but right for him to ascend to heaven. He who descended ought to ascend. He who come from heaven now return to heaven. He who came from the bosom of the Father, now he returned to his Father's bosom. During that last conversation with his own disciples in that upper room, in John chapter 14, verse 28, he told them, he said, if you love me, you shall rejoice because I go to my Father. And again in chapter 16, verse 28, he said, I came from the Father into this world. And now I'm leaving this world and return to the Father. He who humbled himself, who accomplished all the work that the Father has commanded him to do, it is but right for him to return. In the four Gospels, that fact of his ascension is all there. But only two Gospels give us the seed of his ascension. Matthew told us that he gathered his disciples, he gave them the commandment, and then he said, I will be with you until the completion of the ages. As king, he never leaves us. He is with us as we go forward to disciple all nations. In the Gospel of John, there is no ascension scene. Why? Because as the Son of God, he is eternal. Time and space do not affect him. Only two Gospels record his ascension. In Mark chapter 16, we find that after he talked with them, he was taken up to heaven and set at the right hand of God. In Luke, as he was blessing them, he was separated from them. They saw him, and then a cloud took him away. In Acts chapter 1, we find that he was taken up into heaven. A cloud. You know, these disciples, they were looking up. They saw that he was ascending. And then suddenly, a cloud took him. They couldn't see him anymore. Brothers and sisters, how do we know that our Lord reached heaven? You remember a story about Elijah? Elijah was taken up to heaven, and yet the sons of the prophets, they did not believe it. They told Elijah, let us go out, search the mountain and the valley. Maybe the Lord took him and cast him somewhere. They didn't believe that he was taken up to heaven. So, brothers and sisters, I think it is but right for us to ask the question. They saw him going up, a cloud took him, but where? Did he arrive in heaven? How do we know? Is there any truth? Thank God, there are. 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, 120 disciples were gathered together in that upper room. And suddenly there was a hard breathing. And the Holy Spirit came. And they were baptized into one body. And when this rumor went out, and people began to gather around them, and you remember Peter stood up and told them what had happened. In Acts chapter 2, verse 33, he says, being exalted by the right hand of God, he had received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come, and this is what you see and hear. And then in verse 36, he said, therefore, let the house of Israel know that the one whom you have crucified, God has made him Lord and Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, the coming down of the Holy Spirit is the proof that our Lord has arrived heaven. Because after he had arrived heaven, he received the promise of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but again you'll find in Revelation chapter 5, in the Spirit John was taken up to heaven. And there he saw the sea. In chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation chapter 5 is a scene of the ascension of our Lord Jesus. It is a replay of that ascension. Here he saw a lamb, newly slain. In the original it said newly slain, but standing. How can a lamb slain and stand? There is revelation, resurrection. So here you find the Lamb, our Lord Jesus, was standing before the throne of God, surrounded by the living creatures and the elders. And there he came and took the book in his hand, because he is worthy. And then you'll find the whole heaven just burst. There were praises by thousands, thousands of angels. And then you'll find the whole creation burst into praise and worship. This is a scene of the ascension of our Lord Jesus. Thank God our Lord Jesus not only was raised from the dead, but he ascended. What does ascension mean to our Lord Jesus? First, in ascension, our Lord Jesus returned to the glory that he has with the Father from eternity. John chapter 17, verse 5. John 17, verse 5. And now glorify me, thou Father, along with thyself, with the glory which I had along with thee before the world was. There is the glory of deity. Our Lord Jesus being the eternal Son of God, he and his eternal Father and the eternal Spirit, they share a glory. The glory of the deity. Even before the world was, before there was time, before there was matter, there you'll find our Lord Jesus shared with his eternal Father a glory. The glory of God. He is worthy to be worshipped. To be honored. He is omnipotent. Omnipresent. Omniscient. He is God. And yet, one day, he emptied himself of that glory. He cannot empty himself of his deity. Because he is God. Even when he came upon this earth, he is still God. That is what he is. He cannot empty himself of that. But he did. And himself of the glory that belongs to God. He came to this earth becoming a man, a humble man. He is not omnipresent. When he was in Jerusalem, he was not in Galilee. He was not omniscient. He said, nobody knows the day, nor the Son of Man knows, only the Father knows. He is not omnipotent. He can do nothing by himself. He emptied himself of the worship of the angels, emptied himself of the worship of creation. He laid that glory down in the days of his flesh. But now, the work is done. He returned to his Father, to the glory that he shared with his Father from eternity. The glory of God. And there again, he is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, almighty. He is worthy to receive all the praises and the worship of the angelic forces and all the creation. So in his ascension, we find that he is returning to the glory that he has with his Father from as the Son of God. Second, in ascension, he entered into the glory that the Father has given him as the Son of Man. There is a glory that God has ordained. When God created man in his own image. There is a glory connected with that creation. Man is to fulfill God's purpose, to subdue all things, bring all things back to the feet of God. Man is to receive dominion, to rule and reign for God. And yet, in fall, man forfeited his right. Man lost his glory. But there was a man, a second. Our Lord Jesus came into this world as a man, a perfect man. And as a man, he walked humbly before God, obedient to God in all things. He pleased God throughout his life. Never for once, for any moment, he rebelled against his Father. He submitted himself to his Father with complete humiliation, humility. He walked on this earth full of grace and truth. And he obeyed his Father even unto death. He went to the cross to accomplish the work of redemption. As a man, he is glorified by the Father. So there you find in his ascension, he entered into the glory that the Father has given him. Now in John chapter 17, verse 24, Father, as to those whom thou hast given to me, I desire that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You know, there is a glory that belongs to our Lord Jesus. It is not given. It is his birthright. That is the glory of the Son of God. But there is another glory that is given to him as the Son of Man, because he fulfills all that God has ordained for man. So he enters into glory as the Son of Man. When our Lord Jesus returned to heaven, enter into a double glory. When he came out, he left one glory. But when he returned, he had two glories. He is worthy to be worshipped and adored. Thirdly, in his ascension, he received his inheritance. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 verse 8. Ask of me, and I will give thee nations for an inheritance, and for thy possession the end. In connection with Revelation chapter 5, you find that at his ascension, he asked of the one who sits upon the throne, and there he is given that book. Now that book is the title deed of the universe. In other words, when God created the universe, he created for his son. As in Hebrews chapter 1, we find that he is made heir of all things. God, loving his son, created all things to give all things to his son as his inheritance. But unfortunately, because of the fall of man, that inheritance was challenged. Satan usurped the earth. He became the god of this world, the prince of this world. Why? Because he deceived man and robbed it from man. But our Lord Jesus, as the second man, he came to the fight. And there you'll find he recovered through his work of redemption all things, reconcile all things by the blood of the cross unto God. So there you'll find he received from God the title deed of the universe. Now, brothers and sisters, Satan only usurped the earth, but he did not have the right, the title deed. The title deed is forever in the hand of God. God had the universe because it belongs to him. But now, you'll find his son, our Lord Jesus, because of the victory on Calvary. Here, he is worthy to take that book and open the seal. That is to say, to execute God's will and bring all things back to God, that he may inherit all things. It is not only a legal right to him, it is a moral right to him. Morally, he is worthy to inherit. So, Psalm 2, verse 8, is fulfilled in Revelation chapter 5. Fourthly, his ascension proved that his work of redemption is finished. You know, our Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, he cried, "It is finished." But how do we know it is finished? How do you know that what he said is true? We know it is true because he ascended up to heaven. And he was made to sit at the right hand Psalm 110, verse 1. Jehovah said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put thine enemies as footstool of thy feet. Now we know that when you sit down, it means the work is done. When you are working, you stand. You walk. But after the work is done, then you sit down. So here you'll find God said to our Lord, sit at my right hand until I put thine enemies at footstool of thy feet. The Lord today sits at the right hand of the Father. His work of redemption is done. You know, the priests that serve in the temple, they stand. But after the work is done, then they can sit down. So it is a proof that his work of redemption is accepted, fully accepted by the Father. It is finished. Fifthly, in his ascension, he was anointed by God as the King of Kings and the great High Priest. In Psalm 2, verse 6, and I have anointed my King upon Zion, the hill of my holiness. This refers to the ascension of our Lord Jesus. When our Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven, then God said, I have anointed my King upon Zion, the hill of my holiness. In Acts chapter 2, we already mentioned, God has made him Lord and Christ. So, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus is King, anointed King by God in Zion. He is given all power in heaven and earth. He is to rule and reign forever. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is the psalmist's admonition that the kings of this earth should kiss the Son. He is not only being anointed as the King of all. He is also being anointed as the great High Priest. Psalm 110 again. Psalm 110. Verse 4. God has sworn and will not repent. Thou art priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Our Lord Jesus, in his ascension, was being anointed as the great High Priest. Ever living, making intercession for us, to save those who approach him, approach God through him to the uttermost. When our Lord Jesus was on earth, he was the apostle of our confession. God sent him on a mission, and he fulfilled that mission. Now he has ascended up to heaven, and in heaven, God has anointed him as the great The picture is in Psalm 133. There you'll find in Psalm 133, like the precious oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard, that ran down to the hem of his garment, as a dew of Hermon that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there has Jehovah commanded a blessing, life forevermore. When our Lord Jesus ascended up on high, the Father anointed him. He poured oil upon his head. This is upon Aaron's head, because Aaron is a type of Christ. When Aaron was set apart as the high priest, he was anointed with oil profusely. And the oil just flowed down to his beard, go down all over his garment until the hem of his garment. Now this is the picture. Here you'll find our Lord Jesus ascended up on high, and God poured down the Spirit upon him. And the Spirit comes down upon the beard. Now, I often think probably the beard is the 120 men. They were the beard. And then it goes through all the garment, the whole body, until the hem of the garment. In other words, everyone that belongs to the body of Christ is anointed with oil. We are all made priests unto God. Every believer is a priest. We are born again to serve as priests under our great high priest, our Lord Jesus. And not only that, but you find the second parable is like the dew of Hermon that descended on the mountain of Zion. Zion always speaks of royalty, of kingship. So there you will find that when our Lord Jesus was ascended and anointed as the king upon Mount Zion, that dew, which speaks of life, that life just comes down upon Mount Zion. Fill Mount Zion with freshness of life. That is to say, when he was anointed king, we are also made kings unto God. He is the King of kings, and we are kings. Kings to rule. Rule in life, in abundant life. So, brothers and sisters, our Lord's ascension means a great deal to him. It is the natural sequence of his whole life. Now the question is, what does his ascension mean? First, his ascension is the descension of the Holy Spirit. Because he goes, he said, I go, and I will ask of my Father, and he will give you the promise of the Holy Spirit. If I do not go, another comforter will not come. But if I go, then I will send him to you. He will be with you, just as I am, and he will be in you, which I cannot be when I am in the flesh. So, brothers and sisters, after our Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit upon this earth. In that Holy Spirit, we were all into one body. When the Lord was on earth, he taught, he did many things in that body of flesh that he took from Mary's womb. But now he has ascended up on high. as the head over all things. But by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, our Lord takes upon himself a mystical body, a spiritual body, the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. So, brothers and sisters, his ascension means so much to us, because with his ascension, we are being baptized in the Spirit into one body. We are his body. And in this body, he continues to teach and to do. Not only in the book of Acts, but even today. So how glorious it is. If he does not ascend, the Holy Spirit will not come. And if the Holy Spirit does not come, we will not become one body. But thank God we are one body. The body of Christ. What a privilege. How glorious it is. And how our head, Christ, is to continue to speak through us, in us and through us, and to act in us. His ascension means so much to us because we now have a great high priest. Brothers and sisters, because he was the apostle of God, we have a confession. We have a faith to believe in, a salvation to trust in. But because he is now our great high priest, we are able to live a Christian life. Brothers and sisters, the whole book of Hebrews gives us only one message, and that message is our Lord Jesus is our great. Without him, we cannot live our Christian life. We are saved because he went to the cross. But after we are saved, how can we live day by day a life that is like Christ? How can we continue, persevere? How can we grow? How can we be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ if our Lord Jesus is not our great high priest? You know, the children of Israel depend upon the priesthood for their life before God. Without the priest, without the priesthood, how can they commune with God? How can they live a godly life? But today, brothers and sisters, it is because our Lord Jesus today is our great high priest. Therefore, we live. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, he ever liveth, making intercession for us. He is able to save those who come to God by him to the uttermost, to the very end. Our Lord is living forever. There he represents us before God. And he is interceding unceasingly for us. He knows every one of us He sympathizes with every one of us. He knows what's going on with you. He loves you. And He is determined to bring you into conformity to His image. Brothers and sisters, this is the present ministry of our Lord Jesus in heaven. His ministry on earth as the apostle is finished. He sits down now. But He is not just there leisurely. He is there working as our great high priest, never ceasing praying, interceding, standing with us, for us before God. And while He is doing that, something happened on earth, in you and in me. And what happens? The Holy Spirit works in you and me. You know, sometimes we think the high priesthood of our Lord Jesus is too vague. It's too abstract. Are we in the good of His high priesthood today? We are. But how? He is in heaven, we are on earth. He is praying for us, but how do we know His prayer is answered? He is concerned for us. But how do we know that His concern is effective in our daily life? Brothers and sisters, if you only see the Holy Spirit represents Him in you and me. As He prays before the Father, the Holy Spirit works in you and in me. The Holy Spirit will remind us, will warn us, will restrain us, will constrain us, will convict us, will reveal to us. As our Lord Jesus prays, we do not know what's going to happen. For instance, Peter. He thought he loved the Lord. He would die for the Lord. He even boasted that other disciples may flee, but he will go to death with the Lord. And he was sure. He was sincere. He didn't know what was going to happen, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows that there is a flaw in his life. And because of that flaw, God allows Satan to test him, to sift him, that he may be purified. The Lord knows that he will deny him 3 times. So the Lord said, I have prayed for you. I have pray for you, that your faith will not fail. Humanly speaking, his faith will fail. It's certain to fail. How can you deny the Lord 3 times and maintain your faith? But the Lord said, I pray for you. When you are recovered, strengthen. Peter did not appreciate the prayer of our Lord Jesus for him. Maybe he said, well, pray for the others. Not for me, I don't need that. But the Lord knows. And it is through the intercession of our Lord Jesus, his faith does not fall away. He is recovered. Now, this is but an instance. And brothers and sisters, countless times, numberless times, day by day, the Lord knows you. He has numbered even your hair. How he cares for you. He knows what's coming to you. Every detail of your life.
And he has prayed for you. He's interceding for you. Today, you are still here. Not because you are strong. You are steady. You are here because he has prayed for you. It is the intercessory work of our Lord Jesus that enables us to continue even to this day. Many things that happen we are not conscious of, but has happened. Many things that happen we are conscious of, and we know it is He. If it's not He, we just cannot go through. That is the present ministry of our Lord Jesus. How we need to come to Him and look to our High Priest that He may save us to the uttermost. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit represents our Lord Jesus in you and me, to deliver us and to bring us into conformity to the image of our Lord Jesus. This is what we receive at His ascension. Not only that, His ascension is our ascension. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God being rich in mercy, because of His great love wherewith He loved us, we too being dead in offenses, has quickened us with the Christ. You are saved by grace, and has raised us up together, and has made us sit down together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that He might display in the coming ages the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, He has not only quickened us, He has also raised us together with Him. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. His ascension is our ascension. Are we quickened? Thank God we are. Are we raised from the dead? Thank God we are. Are we now seated with Him in the heavenlies? Are we? Physically, we are on earth. But spiritually, where are we? We are in the heavenlies. We are seated with Him in the heavenlies. In the heavenly realm, there is a realm called the heavenly. And we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. In other words, brothers and sisters, His ascension made us a heavenly people. We are no longer an earthly people. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Nothing can touch us. There is nothing in heaven or earth, now or forever, that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We are now living in the heavenlies. Brothers and sisters, are we living in the heavenlies? Do we mind the things above? Are we still minded the things below? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be to God the Father be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We are in the heavenlies, and God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. What an inheritance we have. The riches of Christ is all ours. And we sit there. That is to say, we enjoy all that our Lord Jesus has done for us. All the spiritual blessings in heavenlies are ours. Nothing lacking. What a heritage. Inheritance. But at the same time, in the heavenlies is not only the place that we stay. Now, brothers and sisters, remember, where is our home? In the heavenlies. This is where we stay. And if we stay in the heavenlies, then we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. But there is the other side. And the other side is, in the heavenlies, there begins our ministry. Real ministry. There is a spiritual warfare that we are called into. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are told that our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Our warfare is against the principality authorities, power of darkness, wickedness in the heavenlies. You know, what happened on earth is just shadow. You know, people are shadow boxing on earth. Nothing is real. The real battle is in the heavens. The heavenlies decide what's going to happen on earth. Use an illustration. The first battle that the children of Israel fought after they came out of Egypt. You know, when they were in the wilderness, the Amalek came and fought against them. And Moses selected Joshua to lead the people to fight against the Amalekites. But how was the battle fought? Moses went to the hill. When his hands were up, Joshua overcame the Amalekites. But when his hands were tired and come down, then Joshua was defeated by the Amalekites. So finally, you remember, they let Moses sit on a stone, and Aaron and Hur, they held his hands, so his hands was up until the Amalek was completely defeated. That was how the battle was fought. Now, in the same way, all the battle on earth are fought in the heavenlies. The real issue is, will God's purpose prevail? Can God's will be opposed? And that is decided in the heavenlies, not on earth. So far as our Lord is concerned, He has overcome. On Calvary's cross, He has given the enemy a fatal blow, a decisive victory over his enemy. Therefore, in Colossians chapter 2, He said, He has captive all the power of darkness and make a public show of them by the cross. Our Lord has overcome it. He has defeated his enemy. Gave him a fatal blow. He has crushed the head of the serpent. But you know, even the serpent's head is crushed. The tail is still moving. So, that is where we come in. Brothers and sisters, as the body of Christ, as those who are in the heavenlies, we are to apply the victory of Christ over all things. Until all things are brought under the feet of our Lord Jesus. What a responsibility. You know, there is a privilege. In the heavenlies, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That's the privilege. But with the privilege, there is a responsibility. We are responsible to stand, to withstand, and to stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, for this reason, take to you the panoply of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having accomplished all things, to stand. The word to accomplish all things, David has a footnote. He said it means to carry through and put in execution all that is purposed and called for in spite of opposition. To carry through and put in execution all that is purposed and called for in spite of opposition. There is opposition, no doubt. But the will of God must be carried through and be put into execution. All that is purposed and called for will be done. And brothers and sisters, this is the ministry of the church. The church has a ministry to complete that which our Lord Jesus has laid the foundation. We are to declare his victory over every item, every issue, everything in our life. There is opposition to the will of God. And we are to claim the victory of Christ over every issue in our life, every area of our life, around us, in us, about us. And brothers and sisters, until the victory of Christ is carried through. Glorious. What a ministry. And of course, basically, it has to be done through prayer. So prayer is the ministry of the church. Brothers and sisters, these are what we receive through the ascension of our Lord Jesus. All I can say is, glory. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee that Thy Son has not only come into this world, but it is right for him to return to heaven, to the glory that he has with thee, even before the foundation of the world, because he has accomplished. O our Father, we do praise and thank thee for what it means to him in his ascension. And we do praise and thank thee for what it means to us with his ascension. Father, make us worthy of it. Enable us to live in the heavenlies. Not only to enjoy all that he has done for us, but also to join with him in this work that needs to be finished. Oh